Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman, the whole crew's back. Well, I'm back, I guess.
Yeah, you're the one who's been gone. Yeah, we have been here.
Yeah, and then what? You're going to be gone again next week?
Yeah, I'll be gone next week.
All right.
And the Jaguars are paying you?
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty
where
good
are
game.
You, where are you at next week?
I mean, NCAA basketball across the road.
Doing what?
Moderating press conference.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. UNF. Congratulations
yeah,
to them,
about
right?
The Ospreys.
Yeah, yeah, nice big. Job. Nice yeah. job.
What a run. Yeah.
That so, was following yeah. that. I didn't watch
no,
it.
There's
but
no
I was
chance
following.
They'll be in Jacksonville, though.
No, I would be very surprised by that. Yes.
Be great. I mean, save a lot of money on travel.
That would be you know, very convenient.
Fans yes. would fill it up. It'd be great.
Nice home field for the 16 seed.
Will they be a 16?
Yeah, probably.
So they're going to play Kentucky probably or something like that.
If they get
Virginia,
through, they
Kentucky.
Might have to do the play-in rounds first. So they might be in Dayton to play in to a 16 seed.
Okay.
One of those deals.
I have no idea how college basketball works anymore. So
yeah, it used to be much easier. It was just like 64.
64 and let's
yeah,
rock.
Yeah.
They have play-in rounds now?
There's 4 teams.
Is there 68 teams
There's
now?
68
yeah.
teams. So there's 4 teams that play in to a 16 seed.
Okay.
Or something like that. Anyway, I don't know if you guys heard, but there's been some activity around Everbank Field the last couple of days, guys.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
They've added
I didn't
some
notice
players.
On Twitter or anything.
No?
No, I was actually in Texas this week.
Okay.
And,
so you don't know. You know.
But, I mean, it's national news. I mean,
it's huge.
I mean, everywhere you turn on the television, the conversations at the ranches and the rodeos, I mean, it was all about free agency and football, and it was awesome. I mean, it was fun to follow.
It was the craziest opening to the league season that I ever remember.
With the trades, you're right.
With the trades. That's what yep. I mean. I mean,
that five-minute period right before the 4 o'clock.
I mean, Jimmy Graham getting traded to Seattle. I mean, who saw that coming?
I can't
Bradford
believe.
For Foles. Who saw that coming?
Which is, well, I mean, I still don't understand that.
I do. I mean, you got two teams that neither team is in love with their quarterback, and they're like, okay, let's just go ahead and flip-flop and see if we can make it work. You know, maybe the guy, you know, new scenery will change the production, but – But, you know, the Jimmy Graham trade, I mean, really freaked me out.
And why?
Well, I mean, you're talking the best tight end in football?
Second best. Gronkowski's better.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, he's right there.
No, he's a top, I mean, top five player in position, top two player.
You know, if Gronkowski's got a, let's say, a 99 rating, what is Jimmy Graham?
95.
Yeah, I mean, they're that close and they're that good. I mean, you're talking about an elite player going for a – first-round pick, which is a 31st overall pick in the draft.
And Max Unger, though, who's a good center.
I think that Max Unger is totally overrated. I think that who cares?
Oh, I disagree.
Max Unger, bye. If I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, watching Max Unger on tape, because, you know, I remember, last year when the Jaguars played in Seattle, when we had that long West Coast trip, and I remember watching film on Max Unger, and I'm sitting there, and you know, the guy made the Pro Bowl the year before. And they were raving about how good of a player he was.
I think he's a solid player. He's a top five center.
No way. I don't think he is at all. I don't think they lose anything by trading him. They can find a guy, I think, that will be good enough in that capacity.
Find offensive lineman anywhere.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of big guys who are athletic in this world.
Let's get to some of the Jaguars free agent signings. Let's start with Julius Thomas. He's really the premier guy, the premier name of this free agency class. First off, for the Jaguars to have 6 signings on the first day, that's never happened before, right? Or has it?
Well, I mean, I remember 96.
Well, they've never had $62 million in cap space either.
You remember 96, it was much like this. After the first year when they signed Searcy, yeah. McCardell, Quentin Corriott to an offer sheet, Alonzo Spellman to an offer sheet.
Yeah, which neither one of them panned
neither
out.
Neither because they were matched. I mean – So this the closest would be 96.
Okay.
After that first year, but this was listen.
And it's not done yet.
No, but the big
first
stars,
wave is yes.
But I don't know about that now. I mean, hey, look, you know that.
But who else is out there as a name guy that you're going
to? Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean,
no, the tier two is still going
to
happen.
Yeah, that's the see to me. And I mean, and you look at some of the signings that were in that first wave. You know, a Scuda and a House and the safety from Indianapolis. those weren't top tier guys.
And Dave said that in the press conference yesterday, in fact, that those were the secondary guys. When two of the guys in the top five they wanted signed with their old team, they went to the next three on the list. And
I
like the Scooters.
I like it. I like all of them.
I do, too. Let's start with Julius Thomas. Yeah, that's the guy, he was one of the five they wanted, and I think he was probably at the top of the list of the guy they wanted for that tight end, athletic guy, dynamic matchup issue for every defense in the NFL, can control the middle of the field, great red zone threat. That's the guy they wanted, especially once Cobb and McCourty got signed offer sheets before free agency ever started. He was the guy they wanted. They went after him, and they got the deal done. And I think he makes an immediate, gigantic impact on this offense.
Well, he's going to have an impact, but the one thing is that you want to kind of lower expectations because sometimes, as fans, which I put myself in that category sometimes, and that your expectations match the salary, and you can't do that sometimes because in free agency the reality of it is that you overpay. That's what you do. So you can't say we're getting a $9.2 million a year player every year. Will he be a $9.2 million player of the year? Maybe. But, we're talking Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham type number
after
there.
After Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham, though, Jeff, who's the next best
He's right in there.
Who's the next receiving tight end in the league?
He's right in the conversation.
Well, he has been. Doubt. Will he be in the future?
Wouldn't he?
Well, he's a different quarterback.
No, I understand that. I get that. But that's any player. If you brought Gronkowski in here.
But that's my point, though, is that, he just left Peyton Manning put together, last couple of years were tremendous for him.
I agree with that.
So you can't expect him to come out in 2015 and put those numbers up automatically because that's what he did in the last couple of years. This is still a young offense. We're still a young quarterback. He is by far a great signing for this football team. But you can't, as a fan, I think, and as a broadcaster, you can't say, hey, look, we expect this guy to have 14 touchdowns, 1,000 yards receiving as a tight end.
The reality of it is it's
going to be still a growth process with a young offense and a young quarterback. But it's going to help.
The only thing I'll disagree with you is, any of those top-tier receivers or tight ends, their numbers are because of Gronkowski has Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees used to be Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham. So obviously the great quarterbacks are going to affect everyone on the field. We don't have that guy at this point. He's a young player in Blake Bortles. But you still got a guy now who, if you started today, he would be your number one threat in the passing game. He is your go-to guy on this roster right now, meaning – and go look around. The number one guy on most teams is going to get the majority of those balls. I expect 1,000 yards out of him. I expect him to be the red zone threat and to lead this team in touchdown receptions because he is going to be, I got to believe, one of the focal point, if not the focal point, in the passing game based on where we sit right now with the youth at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, see, my thing is, where's Wes Welker and Demaryius Thomas to also take away some attention away from Julius Thomas?
Right.
I'm not saying that this is a bad sign. I think it's a great signing.
You're just trying to set expectations.
Yeah, make sure the expectations are at a proper level for what the situation is. But I'm excited about the growth process because Julius Thomas is a young player. A young player that's got great speed, great hands, great receiving threat, and he's going to help. Now, the question is Mercedes Lewis still in the conversation?
That was going to be my next question. How does this affect Mercedes?
Well, if you would think that, they signed Jared Odrick, which we'll talk about in a minute. Red Bryant's out the door now. Talked with the head coach, and it was very good conversation that he said he had with Red Bryant. And I love Red Bryant. You guys love Red Bryant too. Guys, great to talk to. Great for us. Love the way he talks. He's just country Texas. Love him. Good football player. Still's got a lot of years, I think, left playing. I think he's got to get more committed himself into getting in better shape when he gets into training camp and throwing his body around a little bit more. But Tyson Alualu, getting him back, I think made that an easy type thing. But does the signing of Julius Thomas end up saying, okay, well, we can move on from Mercedes Lewis? And my quick answer to that would be no, because you still got a really good blocking tight end and Mercedes Lewis. But now – is there a conversation that may have to happen about maybe a salary adjustment? Maybe.
Well, he becomes your number two tight end.
Number two receiving tight end.
No, but number two, I mean, you're going to want Julius Thomas on the field every down.
You're going to see a lot of two tight end personnel if they're both on this
football team. Is Mercedes still an elite blocker in the league?
He's a good blocker.
He wasn't elite last year.
He's not blocking. He did not block last year at the level. Now, injuries were a factor. You know, he had the injury at Washington, and then the year before that, he had the calf. So he had a knee and then a high ankle and then a calf. Yeah. The last 2 years, and so, I mean, look, when lower extremities start having an impact on the way that you can use your power base, yeah. I mean, you know, it's very difficult to be the same player. Will he be back to the same player, the dominant blocker, that could match him up against a Dwight Freeney one-on-one in pass pro? You hope, and I think that you probably have a little patience in saying, hey, look, we think that he can get back to that level because, I mean, Mercedes does not have a lot of miles on him.
No, I agree with that, Jeff. And listen, he's still one of the top blocking tight ends in this league.
If he's healthy.
When he's healthy. The reality is, though, I don't think you can pay your number two tight end almost $7 million.
And a blocking tight end.
Almost $7 million.
That's a lot of money.
I just don't think you can do that.
Take our first time out on Jaguars Thursday. Open up the phone lines, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Plenty to get to tonight. We'll talk about the rest of the free agent signings. Get more in 2015, become a Jaguars season ticket member, and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the National Football League. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager at 633-2000. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
For me, it was the culture. You know, doing a little bit of my due diligence and kind of researching, you know, what it's all about here in Jacksonville. And, you know, that culture really resonated with me. You know, it's about, you know, being your best, you know, striving for greatness. And, you know, also I heard a couple good things about the young kid throwing footballs around here. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, for me, to be in this position is exciting. I can't wait to get out there and start working with Blake and getting that chemistry down. But ultimately, it's this culture and this organization that I just, you know, I gravitated towards, and I'm extremely happy to be here.
Julius Thomas yesterday in the press conference after signing a reported 5-year, over $45 million contract with the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. You're smirking at
it's,
me.
I mean, come on.
So much money.
It's about the culture. I mean, it's about the money.
No, I mean, but he had opportunities to go to other places. Seattle was going strong at him as well. They obviously wanted a tight end, and when they knew they couldn't get him, they traded for Jimmy Graham. And so, listen, it's about the money.
The money has to be on the table first.
Right, and, but then and when then, you have choices, you have to choose before.
Then you end up kind of weighing it out. But you know, ultimately, it's the money, and then it falls back to the secondary things, which is, you know, the market that you're going to be playing in, the coaching staff.
So, Jeff, you were a free agent. I was never a free agent.
I was going to ask you this.
So when you were a free agent, you had obviously probably multiple teams that you had opportunities to go to. Did Jacksonville offer you more money than anyone else?
I had basically equal money in New York or in Jacksonville, and then it became a decision beyond money. And it was wanting to get, you know, the excitement back of playing football and coming to a new market. You know, with Julius Thomas, you know, I mean, it's about the money first and foremost. I remember going all the way back to Reggie White. You remember when Reggie White, I mean, the biggest free agent in NFL history. And I remember Reggie said that he was going to wait for God to speak to him. We used to have a running joke in the locker room. We said, yeah, in God we trust was what he was waiting on to speak to him. And Green Bay shelled out the dollars. And so God spoke to Reggie a lot from Green Bay because of all the dollar bills.
That's perfect.
It's hard to argue. I mean, I'll say this. If I would have ever been a free agent, which I wasn't, outside of staying where you are, I mean, I think there's probably a little bit – I always use the word loyalty carefully because at the end of the day, it's a business, and everyone who plays in this game understands the team's going to get rid of you when you can't play anymore. And so ultimately, there's not – you know, when those decisions have to be made – loyalty gets thrown out the the window. And right, and I understand it from the business, from the club side. I mean, they got to make decisions what's best for the greater good. And so I think ultimately as a player, and you got to make a decision that first and foremost works for you and your family, and it's a job. And
if you're a business entity.
That's right. And if someone's going to offer you more money to go somewhere else, that has to be one of the major influences in your decision. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's like DeMarco Murray, okay?
Right. Yeah.
Great offer from the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sure he had other choices. I'm sure that coming to Jacksonville was a choice. But as a running back, I mean, we just saw Maurice Jones-Drew retired after 9 years.
Take as much money as you can get.
So if you're a running back and you know, your window is probably even more limited than some of the other playing positions, you've got to make a business decision. And a business decision is to maximize your earning potential while you have the opportunity.
And I think that's hard sometimes for fans, which I understand, because they are ultimately the most loyalty in around any team is with the fan base. Because they are loyal. It is their team who they root for. And so I think it's hard for when they see the players they love and rooting for making a business decision that supersedes the loyalty just to that club to go make more money somewhere else. And the same way on the club side. I think sometimes fans get frustrated with the team because, you know, they let a guy go because they got to make – I mean, listen, Dallas made a business decision. They have a limited number of dollars they can spend, and they made a choice to sign Des that he was a bigger priority than DeMarco Murray. And that's okay. That's part of the process, and it's part of the business side.
I think that's talking about allocation of assets, you know, when you're a football team. Being smart with your money so that your salary cap is in a good place so that you can make good decisions for the long term. And I think it was exceptionally smart by Dave Caldwell to bring in John Idzik to help in this process. So you got John Idzik and Tim Walsh and Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley all kind of, you know, working the numbers. I mean, that's – and Dave Caldwell, I give Dave credit, you know, because, you know, you always hear Gus talk about you have to be able to identify your weaknesses. And what did Dave Caldwell say when after the hiring of John Idzik? He said that numbers is not his strong suit.
That's right.
And that we've got Tim Walsh on staff, but he's really the only guy. And so they bring in a guy who basically is maybe here for the short term, maybe for the long term. You know, I'm sure that's to be determined. But to be able to bring somebody else in.
Who has the experience with Seattle getting them in a position to win.
And the
Jets out of trouble. Right.
And really cut his teeth in the National Football League with numbers and contracts. You know, so smart by Dave Caldwell. And kudos to him for identifying, hey, look, that's not my strong suit, and bringing in somebody else. Did I confuse you with kudos?
Kudos? I've never heard of that one.
You never heard?
I thought it was kudos.
It's kudos, but we
kudos.
Don't.
I like calling it kudos.
Well, we don't know what just the heck you're different. Talking about.
Kudos.
That's okay.
It's not really a kudos. Word, but I guess you can just throw it
it's
out.
It's my
there.
Word.
Let's
that's
go.
That's my whole point. I mean, that's what we're trying to tell you. I mean, it's, you can make up words all day long if you like.
He
does. We're not going to
listen on Saturday morning.
Show.
Kurt no, sometime.
I do.
Let's go to the phone line. Philip on the north side.
I need an interpreter half the time.
To talk about free agency. First off, is it kudos or kudos, Philip?
Kudos.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
And I work in communications. The Murray thing would have been a big mistake because, you know, you don't go for a player like that with that much money when the first year or two are going to be thrown away. So you get to 6-10 or 7-9. So you're wasting a couple good years of this guy's career. That's the kind of player you get on when he's the difference between, you know, a lot of other pieces are in place. But I have one other comment. I just have a broader picture thing about the draft, and I'm just wondering your opinion on it. I think the NFL looks at the way they do the drafting quarterbacks is like completely the opposite. That's the hardest position to fill, and yet they treat it like they just need one guy at a time, when every other position they go after multiple guys each year. And they got to get away from this prima donna thing. There should be much more competition at that position every year.
Well, let me say this about the quarterback position. You know, you're talking about, you know, buying in bulk at the quarterback position to be able to maybe find a gem in a pile of rubble. Doesn't work. I mean, there's limited repetitions that you can actually get the exposure and the experience to guys on your roster. If you have more than three quarterbacks really in a training camp, you're wasting time.
Well, the first two are the only ones really getting reps.
I mean, because you can get reps to three. Getting reps to four, five, or six, can't do it. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so these guys look and sift through the pile to identify guys that have certain traits to think that they may make it. And then once they get done with that, then they say, hey, let's go with these three guys to give them the best opportunity to improve. And so I don't believe that you buy in bulk at the quarterback position. Now, I do believe that you continue to evaluate and look for that quarterback year after year, whether it be in the draft or anything else, because, I mean, just like this franchise went so many years without even looking at a quarterback, was a huge mistake. You always try to develop, draft and develop, whether it be round 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever it may be. Now, to go back to the first part of his thing, he had mentioned about DeMarco Murray. Yeah. To say that DeMarco Murray, signing him would have been a waste because he only would have been good for 2 years, first and foremost, you don't know he would have been good for 2 years. And if you had him being productive for 2 years, who's to say that you wouldn't be good in year two? And it, what it also would do is allow you to keep trying to find guys as you had success and develop culture and had a football team learn how to win along the way in those 2 years, if it were, in fact, only 2 years.
Well, I always love when people say it's a waste because you're going to be 6-10. I mean, I hope everyone realizes that nobody within this organization is saying, let's get 6 wins next year. That's what we're going for. We're trying to get 6 wins.
Aim high.
Yeah. I mean, that's not – you're trying to become – and you see it in this league all the time. Teams go from worst to first. It happens. I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to do it this year.
I don't know. We might have just heard it.
Okay. I just said it. My point is, though, you
taping this?
You don't build a program and make decisions saying we're going to be terrible next year or we're only going to win 6 or 7 games. So let's not get a top two player on your
– Well, they, you go back – what, 2 years ago? I don't know if that wasn't some of the decisions that were made. They were like, hey, look, we're going to struggle. We know it.
Okay, but where they are now, Jeff, after
yes.
I'm not – no, but you don't go and make decisions based on we're going to be terrible.
Not going into year three.
No, that's my point. Exactly.
We'll come back in a moment. We'll hear from Jared Odrick. He's probably the second biggest marquee name of this free agency class for the Jaguars. Prime
Sport. Got really cool hair, by the way.
He does.
Yeah.
And we'll have more.
They get Leonard Williams and him. Ooh. And Tyson Alualu.
I mean, all hair D linemen.
Oh, man.
Prime Sport, the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. And the Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Get more from your business in 2015 with the Ultimate Business Makeover Sweepstakes, presented by Comcast Xfinity, the Money Pages, 1010 XL, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. For more information, visit Jaguars.com. And Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli and Jeff Lagerman. Glad you're with us tonight. And we're talking Jaguars free agency. And, of course, so we've already talked about Julius Thomas the first couple of segments of the show. I guess the next biggest marquee name would be Jared Odrick, the defensive – I guess he was a tackle in Miami. They'll move him to end.
Did
here,
both.
Most likely. Did a couple of things. Can move all
He's
over,
He's a strong
actually.
Side end.
Right. And yep. He will be here. Red Bryant got released today, by the way. That was the aftermath of the
– You know, in Miami, he played, three technique. You know, the strong side end, he's got versatility, play in or out. I think in this scheme, he could play strong side end, and then when they go to sub package, which is their nickel rush, he could kick inside and rush from inside, and very good football
player. Powerful human being. He is a strong dude.
He was asked about his role here in Jacksonville in yesterday's press conference.
Attack, attack, attack. So, there's a few times in my career where, it was a controlled aggressiveness in which, you had to conduct yourself when you were two gap. And I take pride in two gapping now because I do it so well. But, it's a defense that I'm used to in terms of, especially coming from Penn State and the type of 4-3 defense that we played there and what they're asking us to do and here and there. And it correlates and it sounds like it's going to be pretty fun.
What do you think?
I think it's a great signing. I mean, I really do. I mean, this is a player that's been durable, productive. He's got size. He's a smart guy. I like everything about him. Love watching him play on film because he is a tough, hard-nosed player, and he does not shy away from getting dirty at all.
I think they added him and Scuda added, not that this defense wasn't tough, but really added more physicality and toughness to this defense. Jared Odrick is a tough human being. I mean, he's a physical guy. He talked about two-gapping, which you don't see as much in the defense that Gus Bradley runs. It's more of a gap control, one-gap defense. But he is a guy who, what is he, 6'6"?
I mean, he's 310 long. I mean, 10 pounds.
He is a real versatile individual.
But he's 310 pounds that can move.
That's
now.
What I'm saying. He's an athlete.
Red Bryant was kind of, 4 or 5 yards kind of on either side of him. And then if it didn't kind of happen in there, it wasn't going to happen for Red most of the time. Odrick can run now. I mean, he's a big man that can run and can move.
4 of the 6 signings on defense kind of tells you. I mean, the defense was okay at spots last year. You know what? It's time to get this thing really elite and fill some spots and get this defense right.
But they're not done on offense, and they tried to sign one.
Certainly,
I mean, obviously,
not.
They're trying to be a player in the Randall Cobb sweepstakes if it ever got to that point. But I expect them also to look at maybe second-tier offensive linemen, third-tier offensive linemen to add to Jeremy Parnell, who I think is another great signing. I think this guy has got a lot of upside because he was a former defensive lineman, so he's relatively new to the position. I think he's a better player than Doug Free. I think the Cowboys made a mistake in re-signing Doug Free. I think you could say that he's a better player, more durable player than Blaga in Green Bay. And probably cost, from what I could tell, probably about the same amount of money.
Yeah,
he hasn't played much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he has more upside than Blaga. He's not a better player right now than Blaga.
Well, if you looked at Parnell's – it's Parnell, right?
Yes.
I want to make sure I pronounce that right. Okay, if you looked at the batch of games that he played this past year, and then you looked at 5 or 6 games or whatever it was that Blaga played, and you compared the two of them, I don't think you wouldn't come away with it saying Parnell's a better player. Now, Blaga's got the name, and he's got notoriety because he's a high pick.
And he has the experience, and he has a larger sample size of consistency of being able to do it. I'm not saying Parnell's not going to be good. I think it's a fabulous signing. I think he's shown in a small sample size that he is a good player with a lot of ability athletically, toughness, physicality that could even take him to a higher level. I think Blaga might be a little bit higher right now, but he is what he is. I don't think Blaga, he's not going to get any, that's who he is. I mean, he's shown, he's been in the league longer, he has more reps.
Been playing the position.
Playing the position longer. He is what he is. Good player. If we would be sitting here right now and said, they signed Brian Blaga, I don't think any of us would be upset and would say that's a good signing because he's a good player. Parnell, not the experience, but I think much more upside.
Parnell, you're starting right tackle next year?
No, right
Without
now.
Without a doubt.
And they re-signed Pastor, too, to compete?
There'll be competition, I think, at that left guard position. And I think Pastor will be in it.
And that's, at left guard, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that's what, when I was talking about, signing additional guys to make it more competitive along the offensive line, re-signing Austin Pasdor an exclusive rights free agent deal, that's kind of basically that creates more competition on the inside somewhat, and it gives you a guy that can play right tackle, if he has to, if there is an injury to Parnell. So I think it's good and that they re-signed Austin Pasdor. Hopefully he comes back from the torn hamstring and he's okay and he's ready to go.
Sounds like he would from the interview with John Osier on the website the other day. Sounds like he's going to be good to go by – OTAs.
Well, so you
think he's going to tell you he's not going to be good?
What
is
he going to say?
That's my point.
I didn't interview him. Don't look at me.
Well, the good thing is.
That's what we say as players, even if
right.
we don't. We're healthy.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
I'm just saying what he said. What do you want?
The good thing is that you're talking about a hamstring for an offensive lineman. You're not talking
about
a hamstring for a running back or a wide receiver.
Defensive end or whatever.
An offensive lineman. Come on.
Let's go.
How in the world does an offensive lineman tear a hamstring anyway?
And he was pass blocking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen it before, but he tore it all right.
Dan Scuda, linebacker, returned a fumble for a touchdown against the Jaguars at Wembley 2 years ago, late in that blowout. You like this signing.
I like it. He was a backup who started a lot because of injuries on a very talented San Francisco. He was an outside linebacker on the 49ers when they possibly had the best linebacker core in football.
When healthy.
And they got beat up, and he played quite a bit. He played that – they played a 3-4, and he played that left outside linebacker position primarily. That was where he played a lot. He has versatility. I think he can play multiple positions like he did in San Francisco. He can rush the passer. He's very physical. Being a 3-4 guy of that outside linebacker position, he had to drop into coverage. So he's very versatile. I think the auto position where you're going to be on that strong side over a tight end quite a bit, he's perfect for because of the physicality, and he also can put his hand on the ground and rush. And I think he'll be a good blitzer because of that being a 3-4 outside backer. Half the time you're rushing the quarterback anyway. So I love the signing. I think he makes this defense much better.
I think the best part about, you know, all these free agent guys we're talking about, I mean, they're most of these guys are, okay, you expect them to be a starter or a major contributor at the position that they play. So I think it gives you great flexibility that you now finally go into a draft saying, we're going to take the best guy that we think is going to have the most upside down the road, instead of saying, we got to have a right tackle, guys, or we got to have a wide receiver. You know, so it's so much less need-based, I think, and you're in a good place when you have a football team and a roster to where you can really draft what you think is going to be the best player. I've always believed that, and I think that this really helps. I mean, free agency is for plug and play, you know, and then the draft, I've always believed in a perfect world, is for, you know, jar on the shelf, develop, and you expect them to be a great player. So all the free agent signings have been good. One thing, though, that you'd like to see, maybe an interior offensive lineman, obviously a running back to get more competition back there, because, you know, you just don't want to see the offensive side of the ball, particularly at skill positions, get any younger than they already are. But, I mean, I don't know who's out there. At running back, C.J. Spiller.
A lot of the running backs are off the board today.
Well, you got C.J. Spiller and Reggie Bush. And Reggie Bush
Reggie
is
Bush. And Reggie Bush doesn't do anything.
No, I'm just saying, but that's – I mean, he's reported going to San Francisco.
It's a USC guy. That's what
I'm saying those are the only names I can think of that are out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, as far as name guys go, I mean, that's about
Trent Richardson's available.
Yeah, that's
not
the
thanks.
No, you know what? No.
Absolutely not.
Defensive backs, Devon House and Sergio Brown signed.
I talked to Dwayne Walker in the hallway a little bit ago, and he had – Devon House for 2 years, New Mexico State. Okay,
yes.
I want to make sure I had that right. New Mexico State. And he said, look, he said, big physical guy, can play at the line of scrimmage. He's had some injury history, but, you know, they feel strong about
– He's a press corner.
The way that he can play the game in the style of defense that Gus Bradley coaches, which is a bump and run at the line of scrimmage, playing cover three, playing man. You know, so – and he makes them automatically competitive. So – You know, and here's the thing. Now you add him into the mix, and now all of a sudden you've got Aaron Colvin, Demetrius McCray, and so where now you got competition, right? And you have a higher pick from UConn.
Dwayne Grotz.
Yes. So now all of a sudden you're making these guys and say, hey, guess what, guys? You got four guys, but guess what? There's three of you that can play, you know, in a nickel package. Best man wins. Have at it. Competition, I've always said, competition makes the best players on game day. And now you've got competition at that position group, and you needed to have it because before you were playing them because that's what you had. There really wasn't a lot of competition there. Competition is there now.
And I think Sergio Brown, he's a guy who has good range, was with the Colts. He's a true free safety. I don't think we had a true free safety on this
team. So he's the answer there. He's the guy.
Well, I don't know if he's the answer, but he's a guy who
– He's competition.
He's competition. But, Jeff, would you not agree? Tell me who was the true free safety on this team last year. There wasn't one.
No,
Cyprian's a strong safety. His best quality is down in the box, playing over the tight end, and he does a good job there, tackling, up in the run. He's a physical guy.
And that's Winston Guy too, right?
Well, he's no longer
but
Josh Smith.
When he knew what he was doing.
Josh Smith is the same type of player. He's a physical, you know, near the line of scrimmage.
Josh Evans.
Sergio Brown is a rangy, free safety type player that – is it his job? No. It brings competition, but I think he's the truest guy right now that could play center field in that cover three defense.
It didn't cost a lot of money. You know, I mean, he's a young guy. What did he get, a couple mil a year?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. It didn't break
funny.
It's crazy. Well, I mean, heck, the NFL minimum now is what, 700?
Wow.
600 and change? I mean, it's.
No,
you know,
I think if you're like the highest is almost $1 million if you're like a seven.
A veteran guy, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, it's like around $1 million. I mean, so, you know.
Back, I mean.
It's crazy to even say that or even to think
it's
that.
A couple
but
million
I mean,
bucks.
That's.
Go run some sprints real quick.
That's the way the financials work on an NFL football team. But, I mean, you know, he's a couple million dollars a year guy. Look, they probably made a run at McCourty, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, he
sounds like it.
You know, but he wanted to stay in New England, and that's, you know, that's cool. I respect that.
He got paid, too.
He got paid, but he didn't get paid as much as he probably could have gotten elsewhere.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. We'll come back and look around the National Football League. Busy first couple of days of free agency. Jaguars Thursday wraps up after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Join John Ellinger and me for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Special guests keeping you informed with the latest Jags news. We'll take your social media questions as well. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 o'clock on Jaguars.com. And by the way, a little self-promotion here.
Oh, great. I can't wait.
Not that that wasn't self-promotion.
That's all you do.
But we mentioned Jared Odrick earlier. We had a.
Is it Odrick or Odrick?
It's Odrick.
Okay.
We had a ride along interview to the airport this morning, which is up on Jaguars.com.
Did
right
you do
now.
It?
I did it. We talked about the Amis Mafia,
the TV show?
Yes.
Okay.
The Counting Crows,
the band?
Yes. And Paul Posluszny, who
the
was a
linebacker.
College teammate of his at Penn State for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
All that on Jaguars.com right now. Check it out.
Wow, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Let's go around the National Football League. A 360-degree look around the NFL presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. DeMarco Murray watch is over. He's an Eagle. And wait a minute, so is Ryan Matthews. They're both Eagles now. What is Chip Kelly doing?
I have no idea because he got rid of LeSean McCoy.
Well, I mean, talk about quarterback, wide receiver, and running back.
Well,
your top three guys from last year are all gone.
But, Jeff, just look at the running back position. So, LeSean McCoy, would we all agree LeSean McCoy is a good player?
Well, he was good last year. He was great the year before.
But
that.
Especially in that spread type of offense that they run, his shiftiness is elusive. How elusive he is, and I'm not saying DeMarco Murray is not a good player, but you get rid of him and you get inherit a bigger cap number with DeMarco Murray plus Ryan Matthews, which is going to be a cap number.
I don't think it's a bigger cap number with DeMarco Murray.
No, but the combination of the two guys.
Yeah, the combination of the two of them, but it's two players for one, essentially.
Okay, then, but last time I checked, they still got Darren Sproles on the roster. I mean, there's only so many reps to take. I don't know what they're doing. And I don't like the – Nick Foles, in my opinion, is a better quarterback than Sam Bradford. And for no other reason, he's more available than Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's played like 7 games in the last 100 years.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's not like he lit it up when he's been healthy. Nick Foles had a 27-2 year, and they won 10 games last year with Nick Foles only starting 8 or 9 of them. They were leading the NFC East when he got hurt
with an offensive line that was in
shambles
because of injury.
And so, why wouldn't you bring him back? Go get better at the offensive line, get some depth. Then you let your who's the receiver that you let DeSean Jackson go, the one guy who can stretch the field. Jeremy Maclin's a good player. You let him go. Now you've got Riley Cooper and Jordan Matthews.
Who's going to be a really good player.
But he's not a stretch the field type of player.
No, not consistently, but he has the ability to do it occasionally.
But what in the heck is he doing?
I don't know. But, you know, here's the thing. People think either one of two things. One, he's crazy and he doesn't know what he's doing. Or that he's a mad scientist and he's got this master plan and it's going to be a great plan, and it's going to take the NFL by storm.
Let me tell you what happens to people who think they're smarter than everyone else in the NFL. They're back in college.
They go back to college.
There's no geniuses in this game. I know we call Bill Belichick a genius. Bill Belichick is an outstanding coach who has one of the top quarterbacks ever to play the game playing for him.
Do you believe that remember Chip Kelly said after the trade that he was offered a first-round pick for Bradford after the trade? You believe that?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I don't believe anything that comes from him.
No. Because if that's the case,
I'm not saying that's
then
a
the
bad
Rams
thing.
Would have taken the first-round pick.
Because that's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, look, you want to keep people guessing, you know, so that they can't figure you out, your strategies and your ploys that you're going to try to, you know, put into play. I mean, I get all that. But it's going to be fun to watch because, I mean, you basically dismantled a team. I mean, really.
Yeah, that's what you've done.
You know, that won
10 games.
10 games last year, but how many did they win the year before that?
20 games in the last 2 years.
Wow.
And with your quarterback getting hurt. They win the East, in my opinion, if Nick
if Foles is healthy. Possibly.
A couple of surprising retirements this week. Jake Locker, done, 8th overall pick in 2011. And Patrick Willis had some foot issues and called it a career.
We've talked many times that the toughest injury for anybody to overcome in football, or any sport for that matter, might be the foot. Just because, I mean, it's always weight-bearing. It's hard to get it to heal. You know, Patrick Willis was probably the closest thing to Ray Lewis since Ray Lewis. I mean, Patrick Willis was a great football player, fun to watch. Guy could fly.
But he wasn't the same player last year, you could tell.
No. But
the last couple 2 years, he's not been the same guy. The last 2 years, or the year before, I think maybe, he was off on third down. He was only a two-down player because of the injury.
Yeah, and Navarro Bowman was just a better player.
But my point is, he slowed down a little bit because of the injury. So
it's a shame. I mean, because, you know, you love watching the guy play, you know, and you want to see as many great football players on Sunday as you can. And the NFL, you know, and fans of the NFL lost a great football player that played at a high level.
And Jake Locker, I give him some credit and respect his decision. He basically said, listen, I lost the passion to play the game, and I wasn't going to go to another team just to take the money.
Who was the other one? Jason Worlds.
Jason Worlds.
Worlds, yes.
Linebacker
out of
Pittsburgh
nowhere.
Steeler.
Was going to get paid, too.
I mean, guy, you know, was going to make $7 million a year.
$7 million, I'd find the passion.
But, you know, the guys like that.
Give him credit. I respect their decision.
If you're going to make that decision and pass up that kind of money, I mean, that takes a lot of courage.
And Jake Locker would have got $3 to $5 billion a year because he'd have at least been a backup somewhere.
Well, he would have at least got, you know, $1.5 million to be a backup clipboard holder.
Well, I mean, backups nowadays are getting more than that.
Especially because a quarterback that was a first-round pick, somebody's going to go back to their draft evaluation of him and take a flyer on him, just like I talked about with Blaine Gabbert when I said they'll get something for him just because people are going to go back to their draft evaluations.
And Blaine
resigned. Jake Blocker actually had some flashes with his running ability and performance. He just had the inability to stay healthy.
You mentioned Blaine Gabbert, same draft class as Locker, same round, 2 years, $2 million deal to stay with San Francisco. Blaine Gabbert.
About $1 million a year.
Yep. Oh, good for him. Good for him. You know, and I hope he does well.
I do too. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, for that little money, again, we're laughing about saying, you know, $1 million a year is a little money, but it shows no commitment or investment by the 49ers. I mean, if they find a better option to be the backup, they'll move quickly.
You want to talk about a guy who has taken this free agency rule book and owned it, Darrelle Revis, signed again with the Jets.
Well, you got to remember,
5 years, $70 million, $39 million guaranteed for Revis.
He is one of those guys that is not trying to be shy about saying, look, it's about the money. You know, his uncle, Sean Gilbert was one of the renegades in the National Football League who tried to maximize his value while he was playing his playing career. In fact, Sean Gilbert's the one that's trying to vie for the head of the NFLPA and taking on DeMaurice Smith.
Him and everyone else.
Others, you know. But,
I'm surprised you haven't thrown your name in there.
Yeah, come on,
no.
Jeff.
But I think it's great. I mean, and I don't fault Darrelle Revis. I mean, heck, the guy is a fantastic football player. And if he's going to make a decision to maximize what he can get while he's playing, God bless him. Go for it.
He worked the system because he had the ability to do it. He rolled the dice with short-term deals with injury. Because if you get hurt, then you lose all your leverage. He stayed healthy. He played at a high level. He had all the leverage.
And God bless him for it.
I
think this also goes a little bit beyond money to a little bit. Because in New England, you never really saw the true old Revis Island. You know, I mean, you saw at times where they would match him up as against a great player, but they never just said, okay, Darrell, you're going to cover this guy, and then we're going to play everybody else to the other side of the field and cover everybody else.
They did sometimes, Jeff.
But not like what Rex used to do.
Well, Bill did it different because I covered a couple games for national radio with him. And what Bill would do a lot of the times is they would put him on the number two guy.
Exactly.
And then he'd be man all by himself for the entire game, and then they'd roll the coverage over to the number one receiver.
Yeah, there's kind of two philosophies. Right. You either take your best player and put it on their best player, or you take your best player, put them on number two, and then double their best player.
And that's what the Patriots did quite a bit last year.
But, you know, Revis with, Todd Bowles, who now brings that style of defense that he had in Arizona. He's got Cromartie's back, you know, so they're going to put Revis back on Revis Island. You know, so maybe that's what he wanted.
I think
that's the great thing about free agency. It doesn't matter. Whatever the reason is, you can make that decision as a player.
And his $39 million that is guaranteed, it is because the guarantees have loopholes sometimes. He wrote that contract or had it written in a manner there is no out. Performance, injury, there is nothing that can happen that Darrell Revis is not going to get $39 million.
So, in other words, he could go to a bank and take a loan out for $39 million.
Exactly right.
He's going to get it.
Yeah.
Coming up, Jaguars busy the next week or two, you think, guys?
Slows down.
Yeah, I mean, the flurry is over, but there's still going to be activity. You know, I mean, there's still lots of guys that you probably like to add into the mix to create competition at more positions, and you never know. I mean, I think wide receiver, you know, Crabtree.
Dave said they're looking for a slot guy.
There you have it. Tony Boselli, good to see you. Jeff Lagerman, good to see you.
See you in 2 weeks, JP.
Thanks, guys.
Two weeks too soon, though.
Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening to Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.